Scripture reading this afternoon is from Acts chapter 9, verses 32 to 43. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 32. This is the word of God. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. All the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made, while she was with them. And Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down, and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand, and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Thus far, the reading of God's word. In response to God's word, let's sing number 310, verses 4, 5, and 6. 310, verses 4, 5, and 6. Now make confession of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe one holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now call on the name of the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and merciful Father in heaven, Thou art the only one whose name is and can be Jehovah, the I Am that I Am. Thou art most high over all the earth. Before Thy presence the angels call out, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who art to come. O Lord, we know from Thy holy word that our God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, and that our God is love, and they that dwell in love dwell in God, and God in them. And when we consider, O Lord, who Thou art, then we say, who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto our God? O Lord God of hosts, who is strong like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Thou art a God who is near at hand, and not a God who is afar off. And no one can hide himself in secret places where Thou canst not see him, because Thy presence fills the heavens and the earth. Thou art never very far from every one of us. And because that is true, and because we know that all things are perfectly known unto Thee, O Lord our God, we are ashamed, and we blush to lift up our faces before Thee, our God, because our iniquities are increased over our heads, our trespasses grown unto the heavens. And if Thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, then, O Lord, who could stand? But with Thee is forgiveness, that Thou mayest be feared. With Thee, O Lord, there is mercy. Yea, with our God there is plenteous redemption. We confess and we acknowledge that we have within us a carnal mind which is enmity against God and is not in subjection to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we say, O Lord, who can understand and who can fathom Thy long-suffering kindness to us? Lord, Thou art showing us again in this day the beauties and the riches and the glories of Christ Jesus in His precious gospel, so that sinners may come unto Him every day of their lives. O Lord, we come then as that publican who stood afar off and who would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but who smote upon his breast and prayed, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And we pray that, O Lord, because we know that in Christ Jesus Thou art a God of pardons, a God who is merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And it is in Thy mercies that we are not consumed. It is in Thy kindness that we may be here again this afternoon for the second time, again under the administration of the covenant of grace, using the very means of grace that Thou, Lord Jesus, has instituted. Bless us then. Be with those who have come to visit. Be with those who listen by means of the church telephone or on the website. Lord, grant that we all may receive a rich measure of Thy Spirit to bless Thy Word and bring it home to our hearts. Lord, we pray for Pastor Moerdijk, and we pray for a rich blessing on his ministry in this congregation. Be with him and his dear wife and his children. Bless them abundantly and make them a blessing. And grant, Lord, that this congregation may flourish under the means of grace through means of the preaching of Thy servant here. Bring him safely back at the appointed time. Bless the consistory of this church. Lord, we pray for brotherly love and peace and unity, which are a gift from the King of the Church, Christ Jesus. And we pray that they would never take this for granted, but see it as a precious gift. And see it as a gift that the devil would love to destroy at a moment's notice. Lord, bless them, we pray, and make them a blessing for the congregation. Be with Clara Strike as she hopes to celebrate her birthday this week. Oh, Lord, we pray that she may continue to give a good testimony of the goodness of Jesus, the goodness of the Lord. Bless the children as they have their final week of school. Lord, that Thou bless those who will be graduating. Give that all may be to the glory and honor of the Lord our God. We pray for Thy blessing on the ladies' prayer meetings. Give, Lord, that there too the needs may be brought before Thee, but also the thanksgivings, and that this may be a blessing to the congregation too. Take care of the seniors on their day trip. Give safety. Give a good time together, a time of blessed communion of the saints, also in that beautiful place. And we pray for everyone here as we are called to be evangelists, as we go about our daily work. Oh, Lord, give us boldness and give us the heart's desire to speak of the one thing needful, salvation in Jesus, to those with whom we come into contact. Bless this congregation and this denomination and others like them who hold forth to the truth of the Word of God and the strength and the power of Reformation truth, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, on the basis of Holy Scripture alone. Lord, we pray for mission work, wherever it is carried out. Bless Thy servants and give that they may prosper in what they do. Leave with the seminary as they are on their summer break. Give a good time of rest for the professors and the students. Give a time of refreshment. Be with those who preach in their congregations, that they may be blessed in doing so. And Lord, we pray too this evening for our government. We pray for the Prime Minister and his cabinet. We pray for the Premier of this province and the mayors of the local cities. Bless them abundantly. And Lord, increase the number of God-fearing people who are elected. Give also that in this church there may be people who have that burden to serve also in elected office, to serve the Lord in elected office. Give more godly leaders. Lord, we pray that also in the world, the turmoil, for example, in Syria, may come to an end. And that there too, Lord, Thy people may be strong in the faith, that they may stand and bring the gospel in times of great need, and that these people in such dire needs may turn to the Lord. We pray with Thy persecuted people, strengthen, uphold them, embolden them, and give that even those who torment them may come to hear the gospel of Jesus, and hearing it may believe. Lord, bless the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth, that all those of false faiths may come to hear the gospel of Jesus and to believe that gospel and thus be set free. Be with all Thy servants all over this world, wherever they bring Thy word. Grant, Lord, that we may bring forth things old and new out of the treasure of the Word of God, and that the Lord Jesus may be exalted also here this evening, and that sinners may be drawn unto Him irresistibly with cords of love. Bless us now as we turn to Thy word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The sermon this evening is based on Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. In response to the sermon afterwards, we will sing number 357. One of the best known characters in the New Testament, besides the Lord Jesus, is Peter. It's interesting to read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and follow the progress of Peter and the progress that the Holy Spirit is making as He works in Peter. And then to go from there to the book of Acts and see the results of the Holy Spirit's work in Peter. When you do that, you will see that in the book of Acts, Peter has been changed from the one who denies his master, saying, "I don't know this man," to being Christ's great messenger. He's been changed from a man who is often in trouble because of his mouth, many times speaking without thinking and earning the rebukes of Jesus, including what we heard this morning, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are not thinking God's thoughts, but man's." And now in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit has loosened Peter's tongue, and he's become a great preacher. He stands before great crowds of people, even before the religious leaders of the day, and he's unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's unashamed to be calling sinners to repentance and faith. He's unashamed of the Sanhedrin, with all its powers to silence and to kill. And he dares to tell them to their face, "You have killed the Holy One of Israel. You have crucified the Lord of glory." And when those men tell the disciples they are not allowed to teach anymore in Jesus' name, then Peter tells them, "You tell us, what is better, to obey God or men? We cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard." And the Holy Spirit is loosening Peter's tongue and his hands. And now he's doing miracles too. And every time a miracle is done in Scripture, whether in the Old Testament by the prophets or in the New Testament by Jesus or the apostles, the purpose is always to prove the truth of what the disciples are teaching. And we have those miracles recorded in Scripture for that very purpose, to prove the message of the Word of God. Well, the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is blessing the preaching of the gospel in Jerusalem and far beyond. If you trace it, you see the numbers in the early church went from 120 to 3,000 in Acts 2 verse 41. The 5,000 men, not counting men and women and children, in Acts 4 verse 4. And after a while, they're not even counting anymore. They simply say there are multitudes of believers. The work has spread beyond Jerusalem and Samaria to the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And the portion of Scripture we read tells us of Peter going on a tour of the churches of that area. He also went to Lydda, and there he found a man called Aeneas, who was paralyzed for 8 years. And Peter says to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Stand up and make your bed." And he did. And look what happens as a result in Acts 9 verse 35. All that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. That was the whole purpose of performing that miracle, that many people would turn to the Lord. Peter's work in that area is not quite finished. What we're going to look at this evening from our text is the closing section of the work of the early church in Israel. Peter's work will broaden from here and will spread also to the Gentiles. But first, there's one more miracle close to home and its precious result too. Our text then, as I said, is Acts 9, 36 to 43. Let me just read verse 36 so that we have an idea where it's starting and where it's going. "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, and this woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did." Well, our text speaks of the miracle at Joppa. And first, we're going to meet a disciple named Tabitha. And then we're going to see a display of God's power. And finally, witness a definite response to that display of God's power. So first, a disciple named Tabitha. About 70 kilometers northwest of Jerusalem, on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, lies the little town of Joppa. Today, it's called Jaffa, and it's really just become a suburb, a little suburb of the big city of Tel Aviv, Israel. It's a harbor town. And when Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem, the lumber was floated down to Joppa, and from there they brought it to Jerusalem. And children, you know the city of Joppa and something that happened there and a man who went there when he was supposed to go somewhere else, don't you? You remember the prophet Jonah when God told him to go to Nineveh, and he went instead in the other direction to Joppa. That's where he got on the ship and got into his big trouble. But now the gospel has come to Joppa, that little town on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea. And it came there by Philip. Acts 8 verse 40, Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. And Azotus and Caesarea are both cities on the Mediterranean Sea, and all the cities between them included Lydda and Joppa. So Philip had come and preached the gospel. He'd come and preached repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, and people had come to faith, and a church was started there. So men and women and perhaps boys and girls were saved, believing the gospel, repenting of their sins. And among those believers in the church of Joppa, there was a woman who's introduced to us here as a certain disciple named Tabitha. And Tabitha is her Hebrew name. But in Greek, she is called Dorcas, which means gazelle. And a gazelle is a graceful, beautiful animal. Now, it's important to note here the word that Luke uses for disciple. It's not the usual Greek word. This word means a female disciple. And it's only used once in the New Testament, and that is right here in our text. And the Holy Spirit has inspired Luke, the author of Acts, to use this particular word. And that draws attention to the fact that, yes, our Lord Jesus has many male disciples, but he also has many female disciples. A certain female disciple, that means there were more of them, even there in Joppa. This one was named Tabitha, and she is a disciple. One who came after Jesus, as we heard this morning. A follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. A student of Jesus. That was her study. She wanted to know Jesus. She wanted to learn more and more about Jesus. And by His grace, she's denying herself, taking up her cross, and following Jesus. And when you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus, that means you are a student of Jesus. You study Him. And your desire is to speak as He speaks, to do as He does, because the Holy Spirit is conforming you as a disciple of Jesus into the very image of this Jesus. That's a work that He is doing to all those who trust in Him. Well, Tabitha knew Jesus. She believed in Jesus. She trusted Jesus. She believed that Jesus' perfect sacrifice and Jesus' perfect obedience saved her too. Tabitha, like every disciple, was saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. And she knew the Lord Jesus as a man who only ever did good. And flowing out of her faith in Christ and flowing out of Christ Himself, it is said of this woman that she was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She lived her Christianity in all that she said and did. She was known for her tireless work among the poor. She was known for her deeds of kindness and compassion. Whenever she had opportunity, she cared for the poor. She was full of good works. It means she did a variety of good works. For her, especially alms deeds. She gave generously to the needy. And she kept on doing that. That was her habit. That was her whole way of life. She was busy performing mercy deeds. Now we need to make that distinction here. It is because she was a disciple of Jesus that she is doing good works. It's not that she became a disciple of Jesus by doing good works, but only through her connection with Jesus, through His grace, she now is living this life of good works. That's what we confess in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 33. that with a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, she loves and delights and lives according to the will of God in all good works. So we are not saved, and Tabitha was not saved by doing good works, but she's doing good works because she is saved, because she is a disciple. And the Holy Spirit here describes this dear female disciple, a woman full of good works and alms deeds that she kept on doing. But the end came for Tabitha. And the end will come for you and for me too. And what will the Holy Spirit say of us when the end comes? Will the Holy Spirit be able to say of you and of me, he or she was a disciple of Jesus? One who by His grace followed Jesus, a man or a woman full of good works, doing a variety of good works and alms deeds that they kept on doing? Well, it came to pass in those days that Tabitha was sick and died. In those days, that is, the days when Peter was still at Lydda. And that's mentioned here. In those days, so that we would take special note of God's amazing providence. Tabitha was sick. And it was a sickness unto death. It seems that her good works are finished. Her alms deeds are over. She has done her last deeds of mercy. Whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. The Jewish people washed the bodies of the deceased. Some people say that was to express their belief in the resurrection of the dead. So her friends came and she died. They washed her body and laid her in an upper chamber. That would be the coolest place of the home, the last place before the burial. And in those days and in that country, if a person died in the morning, they would be buried that same afternoon yet. If they died in the afternoon, they would be buried early the next day. So there was not much time between death and burial. Well, her friends don't want her to be buried. They call Peter. We see that in our second thought, a display of God's power. As much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And again, this is God's providential care. Lydda is close to Joppa, and Peter is there. He could walk there in 2.5 to 3 hours. And the disciples there in Joppa, the followers of the Lord Jesus, sent for Peter. They act in faith by sending two of their men to go and get Peter. You can be sure that the people in Joppa have heard what happened in Lydda. How that man there named Aeneas, who was paralyzed for 8 years, has suddenly been healed and took up his bed through Peter's working. And now they know Peter is there and they want him to come now to Joppa. Tabitha has died. And she is going to be sorely missed. And there's an urgency in their request to Peter. Don't delay to come with us. You can say it positively. Hurry up, Peter. This is urgent. We need you to come now. And Peter arose and went with them. You remember, Peter was called to be a servant of the Lord Jesus. And here he follows the Lord Jesus, just like the Lord Jesus. Whenever somebody called to him to come and help, he came. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. As soon as he gets there, they take him straight up to the upper room. He senses the urgency of their situation. There's no time to catch your breath or to take a little rest. They take him straight to where the body of Tabitha was lying. She is already so sadly missed Many people are weeping when she died. And now we see in our text specifically what her good works were, or what deeds of mercy she had been doing. There stands Peter next to the dead body of this dear disciple, Tabitha. And all the widows stood by him weeping. The rich people in those days would hire professional mourners to show how much they were grieving and how sad they were. But here, these are not professional mourners. Here these widows are truly filled with grief and sadness, weeping because of their loss. Oh, how they will miss Tabitha. Notice that. It is the widows who stand there by Peter weeping. And it means that Tabitha has taken care of the widows. Likely, she has often visited them and encouraged them. May I ask you a question? I don't know the numbers of people in this congregation. I don't even know if there are any widows here. But will the widows of this congregation weep when you die? Will they miss your visits and your words of encouragement? Will the widows, or the lonely ones, the widowers, will they miss the things that you used to do for them? True religion, and undefiled before God and man, is this, that you visit the widows in their affliction. And widows are always in affliction. Will they miss you when you die? These widows, they are going to miss Tabitha. Showing the coats and garments to Peter, which Dorcas had made. She had made many articles of clothing for these widows, and they showed them to Peter. See, she made this garment for me, or this cloak that I'm wearing. She sewed it for me. She stitched it with love. She was so kind. She was such an example. She was such a follower of Christ. The coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And now she had become sick and died, and her body is there, and she is no longer with them. We say that, don't we? If someone has passed away, we say, he's no longer with us. That's what this says here too. While she was with them. There is a limited time only. And dear believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the same is true for us. There is a limited time only in which for us to do our good works, to show our mercy, to show the mercy of Jesus Christ to the widows, to the down and out ones, while she was with them. The time for our good works and our deeds of mercy is now, while we are with them. And notice in Tabitha's life, these good works she did from her home. It's just something you are already doing to now do it for others. There's no need to go to Africa or Mexico to do these good works. You're already doing works. And she did it for the widows. What a touching scene this is. A lifeless, cold body of Tabitha. Just an empty shell, surrounded by weeping widows. And for once, Peter is silenced. Peter usually has a word to say. Even now, in the book of Acts, many edifying words, but now he's silent. And it's a good example for us. I'm thinking especially of office bearers. When we don't know what to say at times. We're brought into situations and homes where circumstances are such that we don't know what to say. Then it is best to be silent. Not inactive, but silent. Peter has, at this point, no words for these poor widows. How to comfort them. But the Lord has something much better in store for them. In fact, He has something much better in store for the whole region around Joppa, and something much better in store for us. Peter does not speak to the widows, but he goes to speak to his Father in heaven. That's what it said of one of God's dear servants. Whenever he got into a situation and he was unsure, he would say, I have to go talk to my Father first. And he would go pray. And here, that's what Peter is doing. Verse 40. Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. That's the proper place, the proper posture for servants of the King. In times when we are perplexed, not knowing what the Lord's will is, he put them all forth. No one but Peter and his Lord. Private in prayer. He doesn't want an audience. He gets on his knees. He finds a place to pray. Peter, having thrust them all outside, why did he do that? They were so reluctant to leave that bedside of Tabitha. But Peter needed to be alone with the Lord. Having placed his knees, what a term for prayer. Placing your knees. On your knees he prayed. And we're not told what he prayed. Sometimes Scripture does that. Gives us the very words that people prayed, but not in this case. Peter still didn't know what the Lord's will was in this situation. But we see him on his knees. In humility, asking the Lord to show him, to teach him what to say and what to do. In humble dependence on God, he prays to his King and his Savior, and he lays the case before the Lord. And it looks like the Lord gave him his answer. And what happens next is the miracle at Joppa. Same as in the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha, and Jesus in the New Testament had done, they raised someone from the dead. When Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, he said, Talitha, arise. Here, Peter turns to this body and says, Tabitha, arise. See, Peter was there when Jesus raised Talitha from the dead. And he uses the same word that Jesus used. Talitha, arise. And what happened? She opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. It showed that she was alive and well. Her former sickness of which she had died is now gone. She looked at Peter. And Peter helps her get up. We say, oh man, that Peter, what a power he had. Oh no, this is not Peter's power at work here. It is the Almighty God at work. And this power works in ways that are totally incomprehensible to us. The Lord here made Tabitha, who was dead, to hear when Peter said, arise. And the Lord did this. In connection with the words that he had bidden Peter to speak. Peter gave her his hand and lifted her up. And there she stands, beside that bed, alive. The Lord had done above what anyone could have imagined. And yet, the Lord worked this miracle for his own glory. It's like he did the miracle of Aeneas. Peter and Tabitha didn't keep this to themselves. No, as soon as she's standing there beside that bed, Peter calls the saints and the widows. He calls the saints, God's people, those who had come after Jesus. What a special moment for the church at Joppa. He calls the saints and the widows, the ones who were so strongly affected by Tabitha's death. And now they're among the first ones to see her. Alive. It says here, he presented her alive. What a contrast, isn't it? In verse 37, she was sick and died. In verse 40, still a dead body, but now alive, breathing, moving, talking among the saints and the widows. Scripture does that so often. The most simple words are used to describe the most dramatic events. He presented her alive. Just a few simple words, but the facts speak for themselves. What a joy there was among the believers. What joy in the church. What thanksgiving to God. What praise to the Lord Jesus. But the Lord has something great in store for that whole region around Joppa, and something great in store for us too. We see a distinct response. You read several times of the Lord Jesus about His fame spreading abroad. Matthew 4 verse 24, His fame went throughout all Syria. Mark 1 verse 28, His fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. In Luke 1, these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And Luke 7 verse 17, the rumor of Him went forth throughout all Judea and through all the region round about. And every time that phrase is used for His fame throughout the region, it is referring to spoken words. That's how it spread. Spreading the news of Jesus Christ all over. People told each other what they had seen and what they had heard. There were no mass mailings, no newspapers, no radio, no television news. There wasn't any supernatural method of spreading Christ's fame. In every case, it was one human being telling others. And that's how the Lord spread the gospel in the book of Acts too. Almighty God used men and women. And that's why we read, for example, in Acts 13, the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And the same thing is happening in this text. A disciple named Tabitha became ill and died. And the people there called Peter, and he came right away, and he prayed, and he raised her from the dead. And then Peter called the saints and the widows and presented her alive. Tabitha is alive. She was really dead, and now she lives. We saw her. We heard her speaking. This is the work of the Lord. They couldn't keep this good news to themselves. They went and told everyone. The news spreads rapidly. Verse 42, it was known throughout all Joppa. Soon, everybody knows. A miracle has happened. That lady from the church, the one that died, she's alive now. Peter, the apostle of Jesus, raised her. It's nothing short of a miracle. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And the response to the news is definite. Many believed. That's why Tabitha was raised. So that many would believe. What a gracious, clear, distinct response of faith. Not just a few, but many believed in the Lord, it says. And that means many people were saved that day in Joppa. Many believed in the Lord. It's the same phrase that's used in Acts 16, verse 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now we have to read verse 42 very carefully. Because we can never separate the first part of the verse from the second part. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. We can't have the second part of the verse without the first part. And then we need to say, how was it made known throughout all Joppa? And then we need to ask ourselves, how does this apply to us here in southern Alberta? If we change the sentence, it was known throughout all southern Alberta. Then, like the saints and the widows of Joppa, we have good news to tell. In fact, we have much better news to tell than that Tabitha is alive. We have the best news in the whole wide world. What is our good news that we need to tell throughout southern Alberta? Or we need to tell everybody with whom we come into contact. God Almighty created you and me. We were made in His image. And we lived in perfect harmony with the Lord God Almighty, perfect communion with God. But we decided to go our own way. We wanted to be like God. We wanted to be our own God. So what we did is we turned our backs on God and said to God, "We want nothing to do with you." And God knew that we would do this. And He prepared a way to restore us again into His favor. He knew that we could not and we would not ever come back to Him. So He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And Jesus came and loved God above all perfectly. And He loved His neighbor as Himself. And He fulfilled all the Old Testament law and all the types and the ceremonies. And yet, despite His perfect life and His perfect obedience, God punished His own Son for sin. Not for His own sin. He had none. But for all the sins of all those who would come after Him. Who would come to Him. Jesus suffered. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day from the dead. And our news is Christ Jesus is alive. He's ascended on high. He is in heaven now, ever interceding for all His people. And when you and I believe in Him, we shall be saved. That's the news we have to tell. Throughout all southern Alberta, Christ has done it all. And we simply receive what He has done freely by His grace. This very day, you too can be saved in only one way, by repenting of your sins and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was known throughout all Joppa. The members of Bethel FRC made it known throughout all southern Alberta. Salvation is in Christ Jesus alone. Complete salvation. Free salvation. Christ is all and in all. No, sinner, neighbor, you can't save yourself. But you don't need to. Christ does that. Trust Him. And no, sinner, neighbor, you can't keep yourself saved. But you don't need to. Christ does that. Trust Him. Come to Christ Jesus today. Come back to Christ Jesus today. He will not cast you out. Turn to the Lord. Believe the gospel. And you too shall be saved. That's the news we have to tell. And it is good news indeed. It is the news that salvation is based 100% on Christ Jesus. And who He is. And what He has done. And what He will yet do. That's what the people of the church of Joppa did. And the blessed result was many believed in the Lord. And when we prayerfully begin to make it known in southern Alberta, each one in his or her own sphere, perhaps beginning right in your own home, with your own children, or your grandchildren, or great grandchildren, or at school, or at work, or at the mall, or at Tim Hortons, with your friend, your neighbor, just one person at a time, and we begin to make it known, may we then not expect our great covenant-keeping God to do the same? Many believed in the Lord. That's how they came to believe, by someone telling them. But if we keep silent and tell no one, what should we then expect? Oh, let us invite many others to this church to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that many may believe on the Lord. Sometimes we complain, don't we, about the godlessness of our society? And we say, oh, when we look around, we fear how few people in southern Alberta really fear the Lord or really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you live in southern Alberta too. And perhaps you should first take a good hard look at yourself and say, do I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? And if I don't, perhaps that's why I haven't told anybody. But when you do, your heart's desire is that others may come to know this Jesus too. You want them to have that same joy in Christ that you have. Have we made the gospel known throughout all of southern Alberta? See the blessed result in the definite response in Joppa. Many believed in the Lord. They believed in the Lord as a result of the message they heard. And the message they heard was brought about because of the miracle that was worked. And we have a whole Bible full of miracles. And we know they're all true because they're God's miracles. And they all go to prove the very words of Jesus and the words of the apostles. And we may tell others. There's one more thing to notice here. The Lord works to spread the gospel. It's never contained just to one certain people group. Verse 43, Peter tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. You say, well, what's so significant about that? That's very, very significant. Peter stayed there for quite some time. And his choice of a place to stay is remarkable. He stays with Simon, who is a tanner. And we have to see this in the Jewish culture. Devout Jews despised tanners because they worked with the hides of dead animals. And they wouldn't come near a dead animal. But Peter, the Jew, stays with Simon, a tanner. He has learned there's no distinction among believers. He's going to see that even more clearly in the very near future there in Joppa. That none are unclean in Christ Jesus. But from that very place, from Simon the tanner's house in Joppa, the gospel is going to spread to the ends of the world. Because children, you know what happens in the next chapter. A man named Cornelius sends for Peter, who's staying at Simon the tanner's house. And Peter comes to Cornelius and begins to preach the gospel to Gentiles. Gentiles are any people who are not Jewish. That means you too. And me too. We are the Gentiles. And the gospel has come to us too. And by God's amazing grace, many people here have believed the gospel and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that it may be said also of this church, this congregation, that through them it was known throughout all southern Alberta, and many believed in the Lord. Amen.